Blog Talk Radio.
All our trespasses.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Lord, for yet another amazing opportunity to be here, to bear witness of your power, your grace, your love. Lord, we're just so grateful for who you are. And Lord, we lift you up tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Terrence.
I am Tanisha, and today is October 24th. It's 2021. It is 9:07 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we're excited to be here. We haven't been here on a Sunday in a while. We've been having a lot going on, so we are very excited to be here. We're glad that you tuned in, and we just can't wait to hear what the Lord has to say to us tonight during this time and in this season of our lives. Caught Terrence and mid-crunch. Well, the scripture I want to talk about today was actually the verse of the day today for the Bible app. It's Proverbs 19:21. I want to read it out of let's read it out of the Amplified, the King James, and the NIV. So for the Amplified, it says, "Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand, be carried out." So King James says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand." Mm-hmm. And the NIV says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Mm-hmm. I like that. And that is so true, that we come up with all these plans. Think about the things, think about your age, right? We normally have like milestone ages where we feel like we should be certain people or have accomplished certain things by that age. Like I know for myself, it was when I turned 30 was the first major one. And I remember waking up. Well, actually, I wasn't even asleep yet. I was in the bed, and I remember it was a little bit after midnight. I got my usual happy birthday text from the people who was always trying to be the first to tell me happy birthday. And laying there a little after midnight and just had a complete panic attack, freaked out because I had not accomplished what I felt I should have accomplished by the age of 30. And I remember just praying about it, and God happened to really minister to me and really teach me that this concept, this truth, that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. That it just, the things that I had planned were just not in the purpose of God at that time. It wasn't that I never accomplished those things, but it just wasn't the timing for them. And God's purpose prevailed. Mm-hmm. I was where God wanted me to be, even though I had these ideas. And a lot of times we get this from society. We get this from these things from family, all sorts of, there's all these different sources that are feeding us information and telling us what we should be doing. You know, even look on social media now. Before social media, let's use Instagram, for example, right? Because I like Instagram. It's like one of the few social medias that I'm on. Mainly to just kind of keep up with society and what's going on. But when it first started, it was just for photos. That was it. You could just post pictures and post a caption. You couldn't even message people, and I don't even think people could comment on your photos at first, if memory serves me correct, or maybe they could, but you couldn't comment. I don't remember. No, I don't even think they could. It was just like you, just a place for you to post photos. And now this social media network has now become most people's news source and people's life coach and guidance, because people will post all these different truths, right? I'm doing air quotes. You can't see me, but that's what I'm doing. All these different truths, and people will feel, you know, they'll be filled up with it. These random people, you don't know anything about these people. You don't know what their background or lifestyle, but they have built an audience of providing quote unquote truth to people, telling people, if you didn't start your business during the pandemic, you're just lazy and don't want it. Or saying, if you haven't got kids by, you know, blah, blah age, it's just not in the cards for you. And all these other falsehoods. And people will buy into it and believe, well, if I didn't do it by this time, then maybe it isn't for me. Or if I haven't had kids by this time, maybe kids aren't for me. But it's the Lord's plan. I like this one. Listen to the message. It's not a translation I'm very familiar with, but I just saw it when I turned my phone on. It says, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. That's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's just brainstorming options and plans. Listen to what it says. I like this. It says, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans. Mm-hmm. But God's purpose prevails. This is a whole different verbiage. This is a whole different word. It ain't the same.
Mm-hmm.
Options and plans are not the same as purpose.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be losing if you're not allowing God's will access.
Mm. Right, because how does God's purpose prevail? It has to happen with your permission. We know God is not just going to force it on you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read some more of that chapter. Let's get, because that's in Proverbs 19:21. What does it say before that?
In Proverbs, like a bunch of different.
It does. Sometimes it just be different stuff and not even a theme. But it says for 20, it says, listen to counsel, receive instruction, and accept correction that you may be wise in the time to come. Then the next one is 21, which says, many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand, be carried out. And then 22 says, that which is desirable in a man is his loyalty and unfailing love, but it is better to be a poor man than a wealthy liar. Ooh, that's good. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true.
Because when you was talking, I just heard running through me.
Mm.
You know, that's what God is saying, like, even when it comes down to devices in a man's heart, you know, thoughts, ways, what we think, our opinions,
mm-hmm.
our own personal advice, you know, and even when it comes down to conversation with people, we should always run it through God, even when it comes down to our responses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have a real live conversation, but we need to ask God, okay, God, I got this conversation, even while we're having the conversation. Because it's easy for us to get off on good ideas, you know, really good ideas, but it don't be the God idea that we're giving people because we didn't run it through him. And when it comes down to our lives, we should run everything through God. Because, yeah, we can come up with a lot of different ways. Yeah, I need to get $500, you know. Oh, I could do this. You know, I could do this. But you never ran it through God to find out what it is you really needed to do. Yeah, we got a lot of options. What did message version say?
It says, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans.
Okay, yeah, we have options. We create options.
Mm-hmm.
We got plans on how we think things can work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll put up PowerPoints. We'll have meetings. You know, we'll have Zoom meetings. We will have videos. We have training and everything. But when it comes down to us as believers, we're talking to believers. We're not talking about those that are of the world.
Yes.
You know, I'm talking to those that's in the world, but not of it. And I'm talking to believers. And this is the believer's mentality. God is clearly saying that there is a way that the world does things. And it's the way that the world does things and gets a level of result.
Mm-hmm.
But to prevail.
But God's purpose prevails.
In order to prevail, you got to allow God's purpose to be done in and through your life. Period. Run it through him.
Mm-hmm.
Run it through God. We really have to simplify how we operate in life. We really make it so complex and so confusing, and God is not the author of confusion. Mm-hmm. We have to make God so deep in this. Yes, God is all-knowing. It can't get no deeper than this. But the thing is, you can't go deep like that. So you need to stay in your lane as a believer, one that's in tune with God, whose ears is open, whose spirit is connected, and who is willing to be obedient to do whatever God tells them to do. That's how things get done in the earth. That's how things get done in your life. That's how God will use you in other people's lives. Speak what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Run it through him. Run it through God. Run it through him. Your life depends on it. Our lives depend on running it through God. Period. Because we got a lot of devices in our hearts. We got a lot of options. We got a lot of opinions. We have a standard. We have a way of in which we think. And God knows this. But he's saying if you want to win, if you really want to overcome, allow my purpose. Allow my purpose to be done through your life. That way you will prevail. We will prevail. That's for the believers. That's for those that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have dedicated their lives to wanting to please God and build the kingdom. That's what it's about. What God is moving us into a time of simplicity of the word. He's saying things simple. He's telling us what it is. And we got to be honest with ourselves. We have to be in direct opposition of anything that's against what the word of God says. It doesn't matter about the position or role certain people play in your life. If they in the wrong, they're in the wrong. Same thing go for you. You in the wrong, but ain't no love lost. But I'm telling you, you wrong. Why are you wrong? This because this is what the Lord says is wrong. So don't take it personal from me. This is what God is saying. This is what your creator is saying. This is what the one that made everything that you're experiencing right now is telling you. That's wrong. I don't care how much you want to identify with it and justify to make it try to fit. That's what the world does. When you're in direct opposition of God, you're always trying to alter God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to alter his will. You're trying to redefine something that's already been defined. You're trying to lie on the truth.
That's so true.
But we got a lot of that in the body of Christ. We try to alter the way God wants to operate in our lives. Because we have this ability to want to be in control. So bad. We want to be in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We want perfection from everything around us, but not ourselves. We want what we ain't finna get from nobody. And that causes affliction, it causes constraint, it builds up pride, and it moves you right into destruction. And we don't. When we know that, because that's what the word says, we need to believe that God ain't just said it for nothing.
Right.
Hey, guys, like some kids, we'll be having a conversation with our children, and we tell them things, and they be trying to act like what we saying don't even matter until it matters.
Until a minute.
Then his face long. But we can avoid all of that. Just believe what God says and do it. But that's what I had to had come up right then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one might ask, you know, because you read scripture and you taught about Christian living through the Word of God, and one may say, well, how do I ensure God's purpose
mm-hmm.
in my life? You have to, one, choose you this day who you will serve. The Lord was ministering this to me this week, and Terrence and I were talking about it on Friday. And what people don't realize is that, you know, people look at that or hear that rather, and they think it's just a matter of making a choice to serve God every day. But you can inadvertently be serving the devil by serving your ego,
mm-hmm.
by serving your pride, by serving your grandma's bad teaching, mm-hmm. by serving society, by serving the need to want to fit in, by serving vanity.
Yeah.
There's all these things that you could serve and make you get out of serving God. So you need to choose. And so you say, how do I choose God every day? Well, Paul gave us a prime example. You have to die daily.
Mm-hmm.
You have to die to your ego. You have to die to your pride. You have to die to grandma's bad teaching. You have to die to the need to please people. You have to die to societal norms and what society wants you to do. How do you die? You say. Well, Jesus taught us in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, not my will be done.
Right.
But your will be done. That is a death to my own will. In order for you to serve your ego, to serve your pride, to serve your flesh, to serve God, it's an act of the will.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So if I remove my will,
mm-hmm.
and say, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will, I'm choosing God's will. Now that kills, I'm dying to self because I've removed myself from the equation. And I've said, I'm exchanging my will for God's will. That's a death to self.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do that daily. You could have a good day today. You did all the right things in your human ability, right? Because nobody has a perfect day because we're humans. We messed up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
If we could have perfect days, we wouldn't need Christ. But let's say you had a good human day. That don't carry over until tomorrow. You still got to die daily, and you still got to mm-hmm. choose you this day who you was. It's a day-to-day thing. It's a daily walk. It's why we need Jesus. That's why when we see other people and they fail and they slip and we don't have the, who are we to thumb our nose down and make it seem like it could not have been us, because there were times that they were choosing Christ daily and choosing God daily, and maybe that day they got caught up. It's easy to get caught up when it's a day-to-day choice. It's one thing if you could make a choice and it lasts for 15 years, it lasts for 20 years. It's another thing when the choice is daily. You could have a bad day. You could have a deceptive day. You could have a slippery day. So that's why we have to have grace and show compassion for other people,
mm-hmm.
because we could have had a great day today, and tomorrow you could be choosing your ego. Somebody might say something that you don't like, and your ego might puff up.
You ain't eat your oatmeal that morning?
You know? Your brain is mushy. You ain't broke your fast. You ain't had no breakfast. You ain't had no coffee. Some of you, to my caffeine addicts. Now your ego is puffed up. You ain't read your word. You ain't had no conversation with the Lord because you was running behind and you trying to hurry up and get logged into that Zoom meeting at 8 o'clock. And somebody done said something to you that set you off, and now you've chosen your puffed up pride. Now your ego has been chosen. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make, it's a conscious effort. It's not a, a luck of the draw. It's not a roll of the dice. It's not the shaking of a magic eight ball. It's not magic. It's a choice. It's not a gamble. It's a choice. It says, choose you this day. Let's read that scripture. Because it doesn't say struggle you this day who you will serve.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't say fight you this day. It says choose you. It's a choice. It's one thing when you battle and you struggle. It's another thing when you just made a decision. It's a decision. Let's find that scripture. Give me one moment here. Probably be easier if I go to Google. You could have helped me out.
I thought you were really here.
No.
That's one of your favorites. It's one of your go-tos that choose.
Let's go. Here's Joshua 24:15. So let's go there. I don't know why I was thinking it was in the New Testament. But, you know, sometimes things repeat, too. Okay, let's see. Joshua, scroll up, 24:15. If it is unacceptable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read up. Let's go to 14 before. Let's scroll up a little bit. Joshua 24:14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Remove the gods which your father served on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it is unacceptable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah, you know, everybody out here, that's one thing that we have to understand in our walk, especially as believers. And we have this really bad of wanting people to believe what you believe. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Because when you've experienced life and this, that, and other, and the blessings of God and the peace of God, yes, you see people struggling and in abundance, you want them to experience it. But one thing we have to realize is that we have to respect the fact that God created it for all of us to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody ain't choosing, you know, all you can do is just continue to pray for them and just move on with your life, because it's their choice. And you don't want to be caught up with the burden of wanting something so bad for somebody else that may or may not choose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just our job to present. And we leave it there. And we allow God to do what he does. But God ain't going to do nothing until somebody wants him to. When it comes down to our faith, man, we give God access to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody don't want to give God access, God's just waiting on them, period. And so you just respect it and understand that that's the word and move on. And when guilt tries to hop on you and you feeling bad, feel sorry for somebody and all that, you need to rebuke that in Jesus' name, period, and move on. Because when you leave here, you ain't going to have no thought of that, no way.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. So let's just continue to grow and go.
Yes. Well, we got a prayer request already, and then we're going to, what we're going to do, since there's quite a few of you in the queue, and we haven't been on a Sunday in a while, we want to make sure that we get to everybody. So we're going to do like Randy does on Wednesdays, how he unmutes you, gets your name, and then prays for you, and then goes to the next caller. So we're going to do that today, because we want to make sure that we get everybody. But there, a prayer request was sent in. I'm not sure which caller it is, but somebody wants prayer for a headache, so and to break off the witchcraft. So let's pray for that. I'm going to have Terrence go ahead and pray for that, and then I'm going to close that prayer out. Pray against that headache and witchcraft.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this individual that has a headache right now in Jesus' name. And we just come against those spirits of confusion to calm the thoughts. Calm the thoughts, the voices in Jesus' name. We bind those voices so that your voice would be the one heard. We come against all of those demonic influences through sight and sound, in Jesus' name, things that are being seen and things that are being heard is causing like confusion and torment in your mind. We come against like multiple personalities in Jesus' name, schizophrenia, we bind it in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that your identity is revealed, that the light it comes on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That the light comes on. It's like you've seen the light. You've seen the light, but there's so much darkness, and it's like you tend to kind of focus on the darkness. Like if you do something good, you worry about like who has something to say about it. You know, people that say negative things about doing something good, doing something what God wants you to do, is like a worry, a weight of worry in Jesus' name. So we just come against it right now, the spiritual influence, that weight, that burden of worry in Jesus' name.
Well, we thank you right now. We come against that spirit of witchcraft, and that it's like a binding spirit. A lot of the times when people are not serving God, they possess a demonic spirit. And so when people possess a demonic spirit, they take on the characteristics of that demonic spirit. And when people leave, they're not here anymore, even in body, that demonic spirit can still try to torment. So we just come against those demonic spirits right now in Jesus' mighty name, those generational spirits, those ones that try to torment families. Because a lot of times you'll see that family members will deal with same issues, and sometimes it's in the blood and the DNA, but sometimes it is a demonic spirit that is attached to that bloodline, to that family. So we just break that off right now in Jesus' mighty name, and I just pray healing and let the blood vessels in that mind and that brain go back to normal formation to release that pressure and stress from that headache, and give them rest right now in Jesus' mighty name, and just help them to focus on the word and to practically do what needs to be done so that the body is in tip-top condition, so that things are not triggered to cause headaches as well. So we just thank you for that. Let that all be done. We just plead the blood of Jesus over that individual. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let me grab something here so I can keep track.
You want me to keep track?
Sure. Good. It's up to you. But I can do it. I can do it. Okay. All right, let's get some prayer in. First caller 336-354. Who are we speaking to?
Ruth from North Carolina.
Yes. Hey, Mama Ruth, how are you?
Hey there.
I bless you, you all.
Good, good. Good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear you all, too.
Wow. Yeah, we heard you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray.
Yes, let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Mama Ruth, Lord. We thank you for the first. We thank you that the last becomes the first, and we thank you that she's going to experience that, that scripture is going to become so real, because we hear that scripture, and a lot of the times we don't quite know what that means. But we thank you, Father God, that you are going to use her life as an example of what that means exactly, because you are right now, you're clearing the stage. It's like, Ruth, I see a lot of times we hear there's sayings, right, in the world that are like, when people talk about life, they'll say it's the same game, different players, right? Same stage, different actors. And there's truth to that, because there's nothing new under the sun. And so there are people who fill roles like this. There's always been pastors. There's always been preachers. There's always been all these different things. There's always been people who use music, the music industry, to promote drugs and violence and all this kind of stuff. There's nothing new under the sun. And what I'm seeing with what's going on with the world of influence for the body of Christ, it's like God's clearing the stage, right? And now the people who are in the background, the ones who were the stagehands or the ones who were considered least, God is going to elevate them because their heart is right. And that's what I'm seeing God is going to do with you. It's like you're going to see what that means for the least, the last being put first, because God is, he's doing a new thing right now in the body of Christ. And we're going to see that who he elevates are people who people might have counted out, or people who nobody would imagine them being on the level that they're going to end up at. But the level is because their heart is pure and God wants to use them to spread a pure message where it's not tainted in glamour and trying to keep followers and trying to do this, that, and the other. It's a pure message. And so that's why God is going to elevate you and put you first. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. When you was talking, I saw the clip from Lean On Me when Joe Clark had first got to the school, and they had the big auditorium meeting, and all the students in the auditorium, and then he had all of the troublemakers up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he let everybody know in the school, like, these are the ones that don't want to do what's necessary. He said, I wish them well, you know, because if you're not going to comply to the rules of the house to do the things that's necessary that make this institution flow, you got to go. And that's what I see God doing in the body, with the body of Christ. He's putting a lot of the bad actors on stage, and he's removing them from the institution, removing them from their positions, as these were saying. And it's like, I saw you like being the Joe Clark, the one that's there to help reorganize and to rebuild the foundation and to really provide the environment for those that want it. And yeah, people are going to be mad. But hey, you got a job to do, and you was called for it, and you ready for it, and that's what I got for you, Mama Ruth.
Amen.
Amen.
So the next caller here is 251-342. Who are we speaking with?
This is Latrice from Alabama.
Hey, Latrice.
Hey, Latrice. How are you tonight?
It is well, in spite of, and you guys.
Wonderful, wonderful.
You're doing great.
Amazing. Amazing.
Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Latrice. We thank you for the endurance. Mm-hmm. We thank you for the overcoming. It's like the Lord has taught you how to overcome, And in your overcoming, you gained endurance, and through endurance, you continue to gain. It's like we go through things, and sometimes it feels like we're losing, right? We're losing patience or sleep or getting on our nerves or whatever. But really, God is we're always gaining with God, even when it feels like we're losing. And so with you going through a season of overcoming, you're gaining endurance. And then in endurance, you're gaining patience, right? And in patience, you're gaining peace. So it's like it's all leading to gain. It's just nothing but gain. And you're going to, in the long run, accomplish the things that you set out. And it's not even you per se, it's because you're allowing God to move, you're allowing God to work, you're allowing God to guide and direct how you handle and deal with things. And so that's how we become empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we yield, because the Holy Spirit is our helper and he'll teach us and bring us into all truths. And so when we are in any season of our life, we need truth ultimately. We always need to be operating in truth. And so God is going to teach you that and use that so that you can really teach people that, to where they can look at everything as a gain. Where they're like, man, it's taking so long, and it just feels like, no, you're gaining. You're learning how to overcome. You're learning how to endure. You're learning, you know, where people can look at things different, because a lot of the times when we're in a season of we're waiting on God's promises, we start to get frustrated because of our mentality, because of the way we're viewing it. If we would look at it like, this is teaching me, I'm gaining even in the weight, we wouldn't be so irritated or frustrated. So God is really going to use you to teach the body of Christ how to look at everything as a gain. So we just thank you for that. And we thank you for the favor, Father God. We thank you for favor with people, even ungodly people. It's kind of like even when the story of the judge, the ungodly judge, and how the person kept going, and finally the judge just relented and was like, fine, you know, just did what they wanted them to do. I see you having favor with people who are even ungodly because of the way you overcome and the way you endure, and you'll keep going for what you know you're supposed to do. They're even going to say, you know what, fine, let's just give it to her, because she's going to keep trying. So we thank you for that favor, Father God. Favor doesn't always have a certain look, but that's favor. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. When you first started talking to Chase, I just heard the race isn't given to the swift or the strong, but the one that endured until the end. Tanisha started talking about the endurance. Wow. So the race that you're running, you know, you're running with patience, of course. And I see God really teaching you that and showing you that on a different level. He's giving you a new scope of it, to where that when the peace comes in, it truly surpasses all understanding, the things that you thought, the ways that you thought, even ways that you taught. You know, God is reconfiguring things in your life and lining it up to the kingdom view, the whole kingdom view, giving you a different view of how kingdom business is and what he desires from the body, what he desires from the body. And you move with that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Next caller here is 919-292. Who are we speaking with? You there, 919-292?
I'm not muted.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're going to do is we'll come back. And then if you're not there again, we'll just pray for you anyway. 682-738, who are we speaking to?
Blessing. This is LaShawn from Texas.
Hey, LaShawn. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed. How y'all guys doing?
You're doing good.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Amazing. Awesome.
Great.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank you for the sun tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the appointments. See, like God has appointed you to appoint, like appointed you to appoint. I see you like delegating and giving people opportunity to serve in their giftings, in their giftings. I see like your appointment book filling up, and you really delegating time to have, like delegating your time, like really getting your time ordered and in place, making every moment count, every hour count, to where you're not wasting or just allowing hours to go by of doing nothing. You know, God is really going to show you the value and show you how much you can really get done with the time that you have, because he's created and given us enough time to get everything done that needs to get done, but we don't delegate it right. You know, a lot of us, we're good stewards of a lot of things in our lives, but so many of us are not good stewards of our time. And God is making your time really important, really showing you the value of your time and how to maximize your time to really maximize your life, to maximize your life. So as you delegate your time and you assign something for the time that's available, you begin to free yourself up to have free time. So it's like to be busy now is setting it up to not be busy later. It's setting it up, you know, and God is orchestrating it. And that's what I'm seeing for you.
And when you were talking about busy, I saw like a farmer. You know, if you ever study farming and all that kind of stuff, how they have seasons where, you know, they got to put the seed in and do with whatever, depending on what they're growing, depends on what their, you know, routine has to become to cultivate that seed and to ensure that it's in optimum conditions so that it can reap a harvest. And they might be out there tilling and toiling the land and really just, you know, out there for a very long time. You know, sometimes they're out there from day to night dealing with the land. And then they have seasons sometimes where they don't do anything. They just kind of, it's done, and now they just wait to reap the harvest. And so that's what I'm seeing with you, that you're going to have a season of like where you're putting the seed in, putting the seed in, putting the seed in, putting the seed in, and watering the seed, toiling over the land. And it's not in vain. Because sometimes when you're putting in the work and you don't see the harvest yet, you're like, there's a lot of work, but you don't see it yet. But it's okay, because God has given you vision to see it. So you can see beyond your physical sight. So you already know what's going to happen. You know, you already know how it's going to play out. And then you'll have a season where all you got to do is just pick the crops, because it's reaped. You know, you've reaped it, but right now you're just sowing seeds, and God is gonna show you all the good ground and how to sow seed. What does that mean to sow seed? And because all, you know, you can sow seed, but we know that it depends on the ground. You can sow seed in bad ground. But God is gonna show you good ground to sow seeds in, and how to water and how to toil over it, so that you will reap the harvest. But you're not even going to be doing it with the motivation to reap the harvest. You're going to be doing it out of obedience. And that's going to be a byproduct of the obedience. So, Lord, we just thank you for LaShawn. We thank you, Father God, for the seeds. And we thank you for the seeds being in good ground. And we thank you that her laboring is not in vain, that she will reap the harvest, and just give her vision for what you are doing in her life, and so that she doesn't become discouraged, because sometimes it seems like it's taking a long time. But it's not taking a long time. It's being done in your timing, and some crops take longer to reap. Some things you could put in the ground and it's a quick turnaround, but sometimes it takes a little bit longer. And so it's not a matter of it taking too long. It's just the timing required for what needs to reap. So we just thank you for that, Lord, and just continue to bless her and give her wisdom for all areas of her life. And we thank you, Lord, that she has allowed you to be Lord over every area of her life. And in that decision, you will guide her so that she is blessed in every area of her life, every single area, no area untouched. So let that all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's go back to the 919. Maybe they 919-292. Are you there? Nobody's there. Well, we're gonna pray for you anyway. Remember they used to have back in the day? Remember answer machines? I'm aging myself. I'm aging myself, but for the young people, the younger people, because we're still young, we're not old. The younger people, before there was voicemail, before there was even widely, you know, had cell phones, because before cell phones was like for doctors or people with an extreme amount of money, you had what was called a landline. And it was a phone at your house, and it had a jack. And you could either have like a wireless phone. You could plug like a little base into the jack, and you had like a cordless phone, which was kind of like a cell phone, but just for around your house and maybe, you know, a little bit away from your house to the mailbox, or you had a corded phone. And so if you had missed calls, you had to have a answering machine that was attached to your phone. And it had a tape, a cassette tape, a little mini cassette tape, and you could record a message, and people would leave messages on there. But they had this infomercial that had these like funny messages that you could leave on your like a little tape that you could buy, so that people heard it when they called your phone. And one of it was "Nobody's home, nobody's home." Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so cool back in. That's so funny how times change and what's cool. Changes too, but when I was just saying that with the 919-292, like nobody's there, it reminded me of that infomercial. I remember I begged my mom, I'm like, we got to get that, and she's like, I'm not getting that. That's stupid, you know. But I thought it was so cool. Nobody's home, nobody's home, and we thought it was the coolest thing ever. So, anyways, we're gonna pray for you, 919-292. Hopefully, you're listening. Maybe you're just having some problems with your phone, or you stepped away, and you call back. Or you tune in to Blog Talk, or go to Blog Talk tomorrow to listen to the archive. So let's just pray for you, Lord. We just thank you for 919-292. We thank you for the release and what that means to release. You know, people in the world use the term let go and let God. That's not scripture, but it is. There's truth to it, that we have to release things to God. Because even with the burden, right, it says, you know, it's an exchange. You release the heavy burden for his light yoke, but it requires an act of the will on our part. We have to release it. And I see God really teaching you the art of release. Sometimes we've got things going on and we don't understand why we're dealing with things, but really it's because we have not released it. And sometimes we haven't released it because we just don't trust God with it. You know, it sounds crazy, mm-hmm. but it's true. You know, I hear a lot of the times, even with people who want to get married, they don't trust God to pick their spouse. They really don't. They think they got this. And they just keep picking bad actor after bad actor, you know, over and over, because they don't trust God in that area. You know, they don't want to admit that, but that's really what it is. And Terrence is an example of me releasing and trusting God to pick my spouse. And he picked an amazing person. Terrence is an amazing man, and he's not a perfect person, but he is perfect for me. And I thank God that I, you know, for God choosing him for me, and I And I'm grateful even to myself that I was able to get to that point where I trusted God to make the decision for me. But God is going to teach you how to release and show you the areas that you have not released. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, for their lining up and allowing you,
mm-hmm.
allowing you access and allowing you to take it from them,
mm-hmm.
burden, stresses, areas of concern. We thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the next caller here. 480-637, who are we speaking to?
It's Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg, how are you tonight?
I'm good. It's been a while since I spoke with you guys.
Yeah, we haven't talked to you in a – it has been a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Big minute. Is there a water shortage in Arizona, Greg?
No, not that I know of.
I was listening to something. I might have stationed this stuff. But it was something about the water.
There was a while with no rain, but then we got some recently. So.
Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray, brother. Good to hear from you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Lord. We thank you tonight for great Father God. We just thank you for giving Greg the position. It's like I see you like on the mountain. You know, like how Mount Rushmore is the faces of the presidents carved in into the mountain. I see you like having a face in your area, like and not just having a face, but being a face. God is doing something with your face. Of being seen in high places,
mm-hmm.
and people with you know, earthly authority. You know, you've been a child of God. God's authority trumps all earthly authority. But God is giving you favor to position you to change things, to really give people an opportunity to know who Jesus is outside of how religion has labeled our Christ and how the world speaks of him. But he's going to use you to really give them that encounter with God, you know, really seeing how somebody that loves God works and moves. And it's going to bring peace to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to cause them to turn from wicked ways, turn from wickedness, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's what the word of God says. And you have a lot of people in this world that love money, and they don't think about the consequences behind decisions that they make because they're only focusing on the dollar. And God is going to use you to speak and to raise the concern in those areas, to shine light in those dark areas in people in authorities' lives. I don't know if it's from a political perspective, but it could be both the political and in the body of Christ, because there's a lot of silence in the body of Christ when it comes down to the things that the word does that's, you know, not really being talked about. It's not really being addressed. And God's going to use you in that area, you know, to really speak against what's wrong, you know, and talk about what's right. And that's going to be opportunities for people to be held accountable, because once you know whether you choose to admit it or not, that's on you, but you know, and God's going to use you to do that. And that's what I got for you, Greg.
What I've got for you, Greg, is God is really going to use you in the miracle realm. The Lord took me to Matthew 10. I'm going to read Matthew 10, starting with verse 5. And I'm just going to go until the Lord stops me. It says, Jesus sent out these 12, instructing them, do not go among the Gentiles and do not go into a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take gold or silver or even copper money in your money belt or provision bag for your journey or even two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the worker deserves his support. Whatever city or village you enter, ask who in it is worthy, who welcomes you and your message, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you go into the house, give it your greeting, that is, peace be to this house. If the family living in the house is worthy, welcoming you and your message, give it your blessing of peace, that is a blessing of well-being and prosperity, the favor of God. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not welcome you nor listen to your message as you leave that house or city, shake the dust of it off your feet in contempt, breaking all ties. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city, since it rejected the Messiah's messenger. And the main scripture that stood out to me is Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And I see you really working in the miracle realm, and it starts with you receiving. You receiving miracles, and God really operating in the miracle realm in your life, in healing, in casting out demons, and raising the dead. And raising the dead is not just meaning like a human who has died, but raising even dead areas, dead things, dead issues, dead systems. But I see you really operating in that, but you are going to first receive that. You're going to receive that where people say it's a miracle. So just be prepared for that. We thank you for the miracle realm in Greg's life. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go here to our next caller. Let me pull up my little list so I don't lose track. Okay. 803-991, who are we speaking to?
Hi, Terrence and Tanisha. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela.
Hey, Angela, how are you tonight?
Hi. I'm good. How are you all doing?
Good.
Congratulations on your new home.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I wish we could have all our whole PGN family. We might try to do a virtual get-together.
Okay.
take y'all on a virtual tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We got to get rid of some boxes, though.
Yeah, we're still unpacking.
That's awesome.
Excuse the boxes.
When you said boxes, that's what I heard the Lord. But it's like I saw boxes for you, Angela, from the Lord that are like Christmas boxes, like surprise boxes. Sometimes, like, you know, we'll have stuff. Like I know when we were packing up to come here, there was things that I found that were still in boxes. I had been in boxes for a very long time, and it was almost like some of the stuff was, you know, like, oh, man, this is junk. I haven't looked at this, you know, in 10, 15 years. Let's throw it out. And some of it was cool stuff, like, whoa, this is cool. I didn't know I even had this, you know. Still hadn't used it in 10, 15 years or seen it, but it still was cool to know so I could use it here. You know, I had to make a determination, like, okay, is this something that I would really use, or, you know, is it something that doesn't need to come along? But I see God giving you like gift boxes, and you unboxing things. I know it's popular too, even on YouTube. People like to do unboxings, but I see you unboxing cool things, like God really surprising you with things, like presents. Because we all, you know, most people love presents, and that's what I see. It's like you've been dealing with boxes, but now he's going to give you boxes. But they're all going to be like the cool stuff, the fun things. Because when you're dealing with boxes and it's like junk and you're trying to sort through it, that could just become where, you know, it just has to be dealt with. But it could become where you're like, here we go, you know, deal with this stuff. But it's different when you're dealing with boxes and it's presents and surprises and cool stuff. And that's what I see God doing, like giving you boxes of presents and surprises and cool things. So we just thank you for that treasure in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we just thank you, for Angela, Father God. We just thank you for the preparation time. Being prepared is so important for the things that we want. You know, we ask God for things, and when we ask God for things, we want it right then because we think we're prepared for them. But God, when you get it, you'll be prepared for it. It's an assurance that you have to walk in knowing that if I haven't received what I've prayed for yet in the natural, if it hasn't manifested, the things in the natural ain't ready for that to be here yet. Even though in faith you've already received it, but you have to allow the preparation in the natural for it to manifest. You have to allow that time because that's still necessary. Everything is a process. And so through the preparation, God has given you a different way of looking at the preparation time. You know, it's like, you know, waiting on a ride or your flight to land or to get ready to take off, you know, it's a process. You know, the pilots got to line up and you got other planes taking off, and it's a certain level of clearance that planes have to have in order to take off, and time and everything plays a part so there won't be any accidents. So there won't be any accidents. And so the things that we don't see, we don't know all the checks that the pilots have to go through in order to get us to our destinations. You know, we don't know all. We're just ready to get there.
Mm-hmm.
What's taking so long? Why we been on this runway? You know, but it's a process, you know. Might have a plane and got off course. We got to wait till that bad boy get out of get off that course, because if we take off, we'll run right into them. So it's a lot of things God is protecting you from while in the preparation time. So just receive the preparation and understand that God is when you get it, you'll be ready. It's that time. Is the time for it. So just enjoy it. Just enjoy the preparation. And that's what I got for you tonight.
When you were talking about that, the word tarmac came in my head, which is the, it's like the runway area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I saw her waiting on the tarmac. So I guess if you was on the tarmac, you could be ready to board and take off. So that's what I saw, and that's a word that came to me when you was talking. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to our next caller here. 709-500, who are we speaking to? That's what I thought, too. Are you there, 709-500? Yeah, we know it's Dastia. Maybe you will come back and listen to the archive, but we're going to still pray for you. So, Lord, right now we just thank you for Dastia. We thank you for the favor. We thank you for the road becoming, the path being very clear. right? It's like sometimes when we're in the journey, it's not always clear. We think it's going to be clear all the time, but sometimes it's not clear and we don't know, especially when we get to an area where we kind of like in a fork in the road or a crossroads, as people call it. And both paths seem okay, you know, and I see God clearing, making the path clear for you. Because sometimes we start walking the path and we're like, I don't know if this is the right path because it's got a lot of pebbles in the road. And sometimes we're like, oh, maybe this is the right path. It's clear. It seems clear, but I don't know. It doesn't feel right. You know, so there's no one way to tell
mm-hmm.
when the path is clear except for God to say that's the clear path. You know, we always try to find, like, signs, rather, that, you know, to make us feel good about our decisions, to make sure that we're on a God path, but really it's just whatever God says is a clear path. You know, there's no two paths that are created exactly the same, because your path might be smooth sailing and my path might have rocks and bumps to teach me how to deal with rocks and bumps for whatever God's purpose or reason. But I see God making the path very clear for you so that you can just make a decision and just continue to move forward. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Don't have anything? Okay. Let me. Okay. Let's go to our next caller here. 225-454. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Karen from Louisiana.
Hey, Karen. How are you?
And my husband James is here.
You said, and who?
I'm sorry. My name is Karen. I say also my husband James is here.
James. Okay, Karen and James. Have we spoke to you before?
He's spoken to me, but not my husband before.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both for giving us a call tonight. Let's pray for you and hear what the Lord has to say.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you right now for Karen. Lord, we thank you for the unity. We thank you for the unity with you, Father God, and we thank you for the unity with James, Lord. Just bless them. It's like I see you both being strong in your own as individuals, but being, you know, it's like the word says that one could put 1,000 to flight, but two could put 10,000 to flight. There's just the strength and power in numbers. And I see God really showing you your individual strengths, and it's okay to have individual strengths. We should have individual strengths. But together, it's like you would think if one could put 1,000 to flight, then two would put 2,000 to flight. But no, when one puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000. So look how many times more powerful the two are than the one. And I see God really show you guys that what that means, how to apply that, where to apply it. Sometimes you really need muscle. Sometimes you might be dealing with something individually. Like Terrence has, you know, his job, he'd be dealing with job stuff. And sometimes when it's just something that pertains to you, you might feel like it's just between you and the Lord, but you got a whole partner, you know, that you can bring them into it. Now, instead of you trying to deal with it and putting that 1,000 to fight, you loop in your partner, even though that's not their job or whatever, but you still are, you know, are one. So now you got the power to put that 10,000 to get things done. And sometimes people don't see things like that because they're like, oh, it's my baking club, or oh, it's my job, or oh, it's my, you know, my family's tripping, or oh, it's this thing that I'm trying to do for this women's meeting or this men's retreat or whatever. So they don't even look at it like that. But anytime you're trying to get something worked out, pull in the other person for the power. And Lord, we thank you for Karen, Father God, that you're teaching her, about understanding. And I see you operating in the realm of understanding, Karen. Terrence and I were talking about this the other day that a lot of people operate in the realm of knowledge, but they don't have understanding. And Terrence gave a really good example. He said, let's say he pushed somebody and they fell and they broke their jaw. Because he pushed them, he shoved them pretty hard. And that got out. Say, Terrence pushed this guy and broke the guy's jaw. And that's a fact, right? This is factual knowledge. But, and everybody's going into an uproar. Oh my gosh, he's supposed to be a man of God. What is he doing pushing people and breaking their jaw and this, that, and the other? And he's just being crucified in the public, and people are saying all these nasty things, and people are now thinking about him a certain way. But what if the understanding was that he pushed the guy out of the way of a moving train? And had he not done it, the train would have struck the guy and the guy would have lost his life. Now there's understanding. Why did Terrence push the guy and he broke his jaw? So sometimes knowledge alone is not enough. We must have understanding. And sometimes we could take knowledge and paint a picture with it. We'll fill in the blank. Oh, he did that because he's a bad person. He's a mean. He's got a temper problem, blah, blah, blah. When really he was doing it to say that it's better to have a broken jaw that'll heal than to be hit by a train. And that's how a lot of people in the body of Christ are operating. That's how the world operates. That's how even the court systems operate. They want to just get you caught up on facts and not put the context or understanding with it. And that's how we have all these false convictions, and there's just so much messed up stuff in the court systems. But even a lot of the body of Christ is operating like that, where they'll have the knowledge, but they don't have the understanding. And the Word of God tells us to seek understanding. And I see you really operating in the understanding realm, where God is going to use you to even bring understanding to people's situations. People can have conflict. Let's say the person that Terrence pushed, you know, their jaws all wired shut, so they can't even say anything. Now their family members are mad and beefing with Terrence and this and the other. But if they had understanding, that would change the whole complexion of the situation. Because now they, instead of them being angry with him and having conflict and drama, wanting to sue him for medical expenses and all this kind of stuff, now they'd be grateful. Thank you. You saved my family member's life. And so God is going to teach you about how to obtain understanding and use you to help other people have understanding. Because a lot of the times there's conflict, even within the body of Christ, because there's a lack of understanding. Because nobody's trying to get understanding. They got the facts. That's just a fact. Right? People, I got the facts. And that's enough for them, but they don't have the understanding. So God is going to use you to really unlock that, what it means and how to obtain understanding, and use you to give people understanding. Because a lot of times people have childhood trauma that, because they were understanding from a child's mentality, and they still have never, the understanding never grew. It's still locked in a five-year-old mentality. And God's going to use you to give understanding so that they can come out of that trauma, because a lot of times sometimes it's mental. You know, sometimes it's legit trauma, but sometimes it is mental because of the understanding of a child. You know, we know that children and adults are not the same. The Word says, I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, but then I became a man and put childish ways behind me. So there's a childish way of understanding that's different from an adult way of understanding. So just be prepared for that you're going to bring understanding to the situation, and it's going to turn things around. It's going to turn things around. And Lord, we just thank you for James, for the strong leadership. What does it mean to be a strong leader? Because sometimes we have these ideas of a strong leader, like, you know, coming in with their sword and barking orders and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes a strong leader is just a person who prays and just gives good, just a person who's there, a person that's compassionate. It doesn't always look the same. Because we know to be strong in God and to be strong in Christ can make us look weak in the world. So the world could be viewing us as weak when really we're strong. It takes great strength to restrain yourself from doing certain things that you know God will frown on. But the world might look at it like, oh, yeah, you just let people, you know, talk to you any old type of way, or you could have did this, that, and the other, but really you're following the guidance of God, and that takes strength. It's easy to fly off the handle and you know, blow your top. That's easy. It takes strength to be level-headed. And so God is using you as a strong leader and teaching you what that means to be a strong leader, that all strong leaders don't look the same. we have these ideas of what it looks like, but that's just like what we talked about earlier in the show, that people have ideas, but it's God's purpose that prevails. Just because it's an idea don't mean it's the purpose of God. It doesn't mean that it's a matter of fact. So God is going to use you to show others what does it mean to be a strong leader. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was good.
That was good. Nothing from you. Okay. Let's go to our next caller here. Hold on. Let me put this in my. Okay. So I'm keeping track. Make sure I don't miss anybody. 254-541. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, y'all. This is Felicia.
Hey, Felicia. How are you?
Hey, I'm okay.
That's good. Is it Baffles?
It's funny because every time I hear the word, the name Felicia, I don't know if to spell it with an F, like how they say by Felicia, or like Felicia Rashad with a P. P-H.
It's with the F as in Frank.
Okay. I'm going to put that in my, I'm keeping track of everybody so I don't miss anybody. All right. Well, let's pray for you, Felicia.
Yes.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for Felicia tonight. We just thank you for reflection. When looking in the mirror, you can have a reflection of things right there in front of you, and then you also can reflect on things behind you. You know, and with ideas, you know. Reflect over different things that have happened in your life from your past, or, you know, just reflecting over something that has occurred. But God wants you to, like, be able to reflect over all that he's done in your life, like actually look in the mirror and look at yourself and reflect. And God is going to show you all that you're grateful for. For the things that he's brought you through, and everything that you've gone through has brought you to this point. And the point you're at right now is where God wants you to be. He wants you to be so you can be in this moment to get the instructions for what's to come. He's preparing you for your next, and so that when you walk in, you can really understand the level of grace that is needed in our lives, and to really see people in a different light, and really place people where they need to be in the roles given for them for your life, because people play many different roles. And with roles, we have influences, and God is really going to make you the influencer, based off of the access that people have in your life. And so, as you are looking at your reflection, you get to reflect over. All that God has done in pure amazement, because, you know, in situations and it was times in your life where you didn't see any way out, or you don't know how you got through it like anybody else, this would have happened. And so God is really showing you what he's called you to. And what he's called you for.
Mm-hmm.
And so you use that. Because the enemy will want you to look at things like, this didn't happen to me, but it happened to them. It could have easily been me. Yes, that's the truth. But it ain't. It wasn't you. God didn't allow that for you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't allow it for you. And so you just have to keep moving. You have to keep pressing, and you count it all joy. You count it all joy. You don't have to feel bad because somebody didn't get through this. No, but he used you to get through it so you could teach others. And so you can express to others about being grateful to God because it wasn't anybody else that did it, and really not worry about the things that you don't have control over. Like lose control, like really give up the control factor and understand that God has a purpose for your life. And that he will bring, you know, peace to you about whatever heaviness that's on you, like the guilt tries to jump on you based off certain situations and things. You just bind it in Jesus' name and move forward and just continue to grow with God. But yes, just reflect over those things and be grateful and allow God to continue to give you instructions for your next. That's what I got for you.
You were first praying. I heard that song, Keep On Moving. Remember mm-hmm. that song, Keep On Moving by So and So? Keep on moving, don't stop now. That's what I heard for you, Felicia. Keep on moving. Don't stop.
Keep on moving.
Don't stop. The time will come one day. And that's what I'm hearing for you, that the time will come. You know, sometimes it feels like it's never going to come. We hear all these different promises. I am living God's promises right now. Even like the house that we're in, you know, is a God. This was a promise from 16 years ago. You know, Terrence is a promise. You know, I still remember when I was praying about having a spouse and Randy prophesied over me, prophesied type of mate I was going to have. And I mean, when I tell you that prophecy was so accurate, and he had never talked to Terrence a day in his life. I hadn't even met Terrence yet, but that's what I'm seeing. It's like, that's the word I'm hearing for you, to keep on moving. Don't stop. That the time will come, that there's lots of promises, and it'd be feeling like, okay, Lord, am I delusional at this point, or did you really tell me this, you know? And God is saying, yes, it's me. I really told you these things. Just keep on moving and don't stop, because the time is going to come. Mm-hmm. One day you're going to be walking into it. You know, I was starting to get frustrated with, you know, saying, you know what? Maybe I'll just be single for the rest of my life. And then a time came where I had to take my son to get a haircut, and the barber that I had made the appointment with was ignoring me and tripping. And God said, go anyway. And that's the day I met Terrence. Terrence was not the barber that I had set up the appointment with or nothing. I just kept going, kept moving, didn't stop, and the time came. And so it's like there's lots of areas that God is, that this message applies to for you, Felicia, to just keep moving. Don't stop. The time will come. It's going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time, right? That's it. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy will try to get us all burned out and all tripped up in the time that we are in right now, because we're so fed up, tired of waiting, and we can't even enjoy the time that we're in right now, because the time is that, just that is time. Today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow. But I shouldn't be messed up in today about something that could end up happening tomorrow, because now my today is not being, I don't have my abundant life that Jesus died to give me. He came to give me life and life more abundantly. And so when we start getting tripped up on things, we're robbing ourselves of our abundance, because you can't, abundance and things that deplete you, that they can't operate, they can't coexist. And so just release it, trust God, and keep moving, because the time is going to come. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a text in that Mike and Veronica, they were waiting. I think their phone dropped because they said they were having low battery, but pray for them. Hopefully they call in tomorrow and listen to the archive so that they can get their message. But Lord, we just thank you right now for Mike And we just thank you for the tenacity. We thank you for the gumption. Look that up. Gumption. I'm sure I know how to spell that.
I don't think I've ever had to spell gumption.
I think I have. I think that was a spelling word one time when I was in elementary.
But that's so far removed.
So initiative, enterprise, common sense. Woo. Common sense, discretion, level-headedness, sense and sensibility, wisdom and wit. So that's the word, the gumption. That you have gumption. So there's a lot of good things switched together that benefit you. That's when I put it in Google. Determination and courage. Oh, that's good. But that's what I see, that you have that's the word, gumption. There's all sorts of words, right? I love words. And there's words that can be similar, but there's the reason why there's more there's more than one word is because there's a little bit of difference. Like, you know, gumption is just different. When you hear somebody says, oh, they're, you know, they got determination, but gumption, it's like you feel like, man, they're like pit bull. You know, they're just sinking their teeth in. They got lockjaw on that thing. And that's what I see, you, that you have gumption. God's giving you gumption so that you can do the work that he has for you. And in the work that he has for you, you're going to do it. It's going to be fulfilled. So you might have some setbacks and you might face some battles, but you're going to do the work because you got what it takes. And one of the things that you've got that it does take is gumption. So we thank you for that. Father God, continue to bless Mike and bless his finances and give him favor and give him vision and the ability to have gumption in the vision, even when what he sees in front of him doesn't line up. And we thank you right now for Veronica, Father God. We thank you for her ability to, it's like I see you having the ability to bend, you know, like you have a elasticity. I'm going to look that up. If I could spell, okay, there we go. So it's the ability of an object or material to resume its normal shape after being stretched or compressed, stretchiness. But that's the word I see, that you have elasticity. God has given you the ability to bend. And it's good. Things that are elastic are good because they won't break, even when they have a lot of pressure. You know, they won't break, they won't tear. And that's what I'm seeing, that God has given you the ability that you have elasticity, that you can bend and then you can resume so that you don't even see the effect of the stretch. Sometimes we really got to stretch ourselves. But when things are elastic or have elasticity, they tend to go back into shape. Where if they don't, then now they look all stretched out and they're all warped and they're not what they were. So we thank you for that, for Veronica's ability to bend and not lose who she is, not lose the shape of the God shape, how God has molded her. So just continue to bless them, bless their ministry, bless their home, bless their health, bless their finances, their wealth. Just bless them in every area of their life, physically, spiritually, financially, economically, psychologically. Just bless them, Father God, and give them divine protection and divine health. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let me go back here. Two five one 229, who are we speaking to? Do I hear snoring? Oh. Well, we're going to pray for you anyway. Glad that you are getting some rest in the Lord, like Terrence just said. yeah. I'm going to go ahead and pray. 251-229. I'll pray. Terrence is getting some rest too. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that rest. We thank you, Father God, for the ability to rest even despite, no matter what's going on, no matter what the circumstances are, what the environment is, to be able to have that rest and what that means, where you are able to have a peace that surpasses understanding. Because in order to really be able to rest, you have to have peace, right? You have to have peace to rest. And so I'm seeing you having the ability to really truly rest in every area, which means that you have to have peace in it. And so you can have a situation and things that you're dealing with that are not peaceful in itself, but you are still able to maintain your peace, right? Because we have our own individual peace. And when we are in situations that are not peaceful, we actually bring the peace in that situation because we are in a state of peace. We have peace. We possess it, which means that we're bringing it. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Give them peace. Give them rest in every area of their life. And just continue to be the source. Like, just allow God to be the source of everything. Not to look at everything else as a resource, but really knowing that God is the source. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You got anything? 251-229. Okay. Well, that's everybody. Thank you all for giving us a call tonight. It was great to be back. We love you all. We continue to pray for you. Pray for us. And I just want to pray a collective prayer over everybody before we go. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for allowing us to gather and to lift your name on high and to hear from you, Father God. And let us just receive the words that you have for us and to walk in peace. And Father God, help us collectively to grow stronger and to be a microphone in this world, a microphone where we just amplify your words, amplify your voice. Help us to just remain pure to hearing your voice very clear and just magnifying what you have spoken to where there's none of us in it and it's all of you. Help us to do that collectively as a body. Now the PGN is a church now, and we thank you for that. Just bless PGN. Bless this church, bless this ministry, bless all of the listeners and all the callers and all the members, and just use us individually right where we are in our own communities and neighborhoods and groups, and use us collectively to be a force into this world, Father God, to win souls for Christ. And we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. And pray a blessing over everybody's life that's listening to the sound of my voice this week. And breakthroughs, Father God. Let breakthroughs and miracles happen this week for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good night.